journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Tuesday, February 21st, 2012, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and think.
Silence is not an option.
Noam Chomsky, crisis and hope, theirs and ours. We'll spend the hour hearing from one of the most important living progressive voices.
Sorry if my eyes drop when the bellow mellows out, but I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising.
Good morning and welcome to Uprising. A sudden increase in gas prices across the nation, and particularly in California, has threatened to derail the minuscule advances in economic recovery. The LA Times reported yesterday that gas prices are, quote, up 5% in just the last week and nearly 9% higher than a month ago. The effects of higher gas prices on the presidential election have already become a topic of discussion in the media, and Republican candidates for the nation's highest office have already started blaming President Obama for the uptick. The global economic recovery is also seemingly slowing, undermining overly optimistic projections by economists only a few months ago. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, announced today that its 34 member nations saw slower economic growth, only 0.1% this past quarter compared to 0.6% in the earlier quarter. Today, we turn to a familiar voice in the progressive community, commenting on the broad political and historical context of our current economic climate. Noam Chomsky, MIT professor of linguistics and a critic of American domestic and foreign policy. His wide-ranging criticisms have made him an enemy of the powerful and a beloved intellectual for generations of progressives. He has written over 100 books and is one of the most cited living sources in the world. Currently in his 80s, he continues to travel extensively, lecture widely, and write prolifically. Noam Chomsky spoke just a few weeks ago at the University of Maryland at an event that was filmed and whose recording was generously made available to KPFK by the Real News Network. The Real News is a nonprofit, viewer-funded daily video news and documentary service that, like KPFK, does not sell advertising or accept government or corporate funding. You can find out more about them at realnews.com. Today, we're going to be playing for you clips from this very brand new speech by Professor Noam Chomsky. And we're also going to offer you a chance to own the DVD of the recording for a pledge of $75 at 818-985-5735, 985-KPFK. This talk is debuting here on KPFK on Uprising, and we're very proud to present Professor Noam Chomsky.
To clarify the title a little, I'll adopt the imagery of the Occupy movement, the imagery that's become familiar, current in the last few months. Them is the 1% and us is the 99%. Of course, this is only imagery. It's not to be taken literally. The leading factor in the astonishing inequality to which the Occupy movement has finally drawn attention actually lies in a fraction of 1% of the population, maybe a tenth of 1%. It's mostly hedge fund managers, CEOs of financial corporations and the like. This is a product of radical changes in the economy since the 1970s. It initiated a process in which an out-of-control financial sector is eating out the modern market economy from the inside, just as the larva of the spider wasp eats out the host in which it has been laid. Actually, those words are not mine. I couldn't get away with it. I'm quoting Martin Wolf of the Financial Times, probably the most respected economic correspondent in the world, suitably conservative. A related and parallel process has been the deindustrialization of America. That's a sharp reversal of centuries of history. It's been a bonanza for the 1% and pretty much of a disaster for the rest. Now, the process is called failure by design by the Economic Policy Institute. They're the major monitors of the state of working America, and not, of course, a failure for the designers, as they make clear the designers have been making out like bandits, rather a failure for the rest, including future generations, on whom a huge burden is being imposed, one that may be impossible to meet, and again, by design. It's not a law of nature, law of economics, anything else, planned process. The Occupy imagery, it refers to aspirations and commitments. So take, for example, Martin Luther King. His anniversary was celebrated a couple of weeks ago. King was a leading figure of the 1% that's independent of whatever his personal assets might have been when he was assassinated. And we should recall that he was assassinated while he was supporting a strike of public sector workers, a group that's now targeted for destruction in the current phase of the class war, the vicious class war that's intensified in the last 30 years or so. He was hoping at the time to carry his dream forward by leading a march of the poor to Washington. The march actually took place, starting from the motel where he was assassinated in Memphis, passing through regions where the civil rights struggle had been waged, and finally reaching Washington, where the marchers were dismissed with scorn by Congress and driven out of the city by the police, who for good measure were ordered to destroy their encampment in Resurrection City in the middle of the night. It's revealing the contempt of Northern liberalism for King when once he went beyond condemning racist Alabama sheriffs to confronting the more fundamental problems of American society in the North as well, the terrible plight of the poor and aggression abroad. At the time, that was the atrocious U.S. war in Indochina. Martin Luther King's actual dream, not the one we hear orations about on Martin Luther King Day, the actual one was left in tatters, an unfulfilled legacy. Matters worth contemplating as King is solemnly commemorated. One vivid illustration of the difference between the crises of the 1% and the 99% is the fate of the congressional legislation that was passed to deal with the catastrophic financial crisis that was created by the 1% and their associates in the political and professional worlds. The government reaction was reviewed by the Special Inspector General of the Bush-Obama bailout programs, Neil Barofsky. He pointed out that the legislation that authorized the bailout was two-sided. It was the financial institutions that were responsible for the collapse. They were to be saved by the taxpayer, and the victims of their misdeeds were to be very partially compensated by measures to give some protection to home values and to secure home ownership. Well, only one part of the bargain was kept. It didn't take a genius to predict which part. The financial institutions were rewarded lavishly for causing the crisis, The TARP bailouts were the least of it. Meanwhile, the rest of the program floundered, quote Borofsky. Foreclosures continued to mount, with 8 million to 13 million filings forecast over the program's lifetime, while the biggest banks are 20% larger than they were before the crisis and control a larger part of our economy than ever. Furthermore, he went on, they reasonably assume that the government will rescue them again if necessary. Indeed, the credit rating agencies incorporate future government bailouts into their assessments of the largest banks, exaggerating market distortions that provide them with an unfair advantage over smaller institutions, which continue to struggle, and of course over the 99%. In short, he concludes, Obama's programs were a giveaway to Wall Street executives and a blow in the solar plexus to their defenseless victims, and very likely a stepping stone towards the next and probably worse financial crisis as business lobbying chips away systematically at the Dodd-Frank regulation bill. Well, these crises have been a regular occurrence since the Reagan years, though there weren't any before. Before that, the New Deal regulatory apparatus remained in place. That was also the greatest growth period in American economic history, often called Golden Age by economists. It was also a period of egalitarian growth. The lowest fifth of the population did about as well as the top fifth. It was also the period in which the modern high-tech economy was founded, very largely in the dynamic state sector of the economy, and not something you read about when you see the encomiums to Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and the others who made use of the contribution of the public to commercialize the work that had been done.
Professor Noam Chomsky speaking just a few weeks ago at the University of Maryland at a talk that was recorded by the Real News Network, made available today as a thank you gift to you, our listeners, who have supported us at KPFK for so long. This radio station has been around for over 50 years, featuring voices, unabashedly featuring voices like Noam Chomsky. If you pledge $75 today at 818-985-5735, that's 818-985-KPFK, we'll send you the DVD of the brand new Chomsky talk. Using the imagery of the 99% versus the 1% that the Occupy Wall Street movement has come up with, he tries to explain the economic crisis that is facing not only the 99%, but also, interestingly enough, the 1%. He looks at the way in which the current economic model has turned into crisis mode. He also, of course, talks about hope. The whole talk is well over an hour long. The talk is called Crisis and Hope, Theirs and Ours. And $75 is the pledge level that we're asking you to make a contribution in order to support KPFK. We'll send you a copy of this DVD. We also, for a pledge of $100, are offering another Chomsky DVD, which is a very intimate interview that was done by Dr. Howard Gardner, a world-renowned author, who sat down and spoke with Noam Chomsky as part of a series called Extraordinary Minds, an unscripted, entertaining, and stimulating new series featuring Professor Chomsky. Together, the two DVDs are available for a pledge of $150. Individually, they're $175, together $150. And for the first dozen or more of you who call and make that $150 pledge, we'd like to give you a year-long subscription to Dollars and Cents magazine. That's Dollars and S-E-N-S-E magazine. Real World Economics is their slogan. It's a fantastic independent magazine that deeply explores economic issues and has been doing for a while. Their latest issue focuses on student debt, on comparing the U.S. and Greece, on the racial wealth divide, on single mothers and how they're coping in the economy. Fantastic little magazine that we'd like to give you a subscription to, a year-long subscription to, in exchange for a pledge of $150 that also comes with the two DVDs, Noam Chomsky speaking January 27th at the University of Maryland, and Noam Chomsky being interviewed by Howard Gardner as part of the Extraordinary Minds series. We'll play a clip of that for you a little bit later. I want to turn back to Professor Chomsky speaking on January 27th at the University of Maryland, our featured thank you gift for you today. But please do call early and call often. If you've already made your pledge, call your friends and tell them to pledge to KPFK. We are in the third week of this pledge drive, and we still have a very, very long way to go. So do call us and help us raise the goal, raise the amount of money that we need to keep the station sustainable at 818-985-5735. Here is Professor Noam Chomsky.
Well, at that time, the banks were banks. They did pretty much what a bank is supposed to do in a state capitalist society. They took unused capital, like, say, your bank accounts, and they transferred them to what was supposed to be some constructive use, like somebody wants to buy a home or send their kids to college or start a business or whatever it may be. Now, that was the golden age. When deregulation began, and the post-war system, so-called Bretton Woods system, was dismantled. That was a system of regulated capital and regulated currencies. When that was dismantled in the 1970s, it led to an extraordinary increase in global capital flow. Banks weren't banks anymore. They became financial casinos, increasingly opaque instruments, all kinds of incentives to underestimate risk, because, as Borofsky pointed out, the nanny state is counted on to step in when things go sour. Credit rating agencies, as he wrote already, take that for granted. Well, it wasn't very hard to predict what was going to happen. There were a few international economists who actually did, very few. One of them was David Felix. He repeatedly warned, quoting him, that the increasing frequency of financial crises during the period of financial liberalization could terminate in an uncontrollable one. The return to the Great Depression, quite close to that. Now, he was joined by a few others, among them John Eatwell and Lance Taylor, well-known British and American economists. They published in the 90s an important book called Global Finance at Risk. They discussed the institutional roots of the underestimation of risk, and they proposed means to deal with it. At root, the problems result from very well-known inefficiencies of markets, inherent inefficiencies of markets, which you learn about in your first semester of economics. One of these is that transactions in a market system don't take into account the effects on others who are not parties to the transaction. So, for example, if you sell me a car and we're paying attention, we'll work it out so that we both make out pretty well all right. But we simply don't take into account the effect of that purchase on somebody else, that guy over there. And the effects are real. There's more pollution, there's more traffic congestion, there are more accidents. And when you multiply these over the population, they become substantial. In fact, these externalities, as they're called, you don't pay attention to them, they're a footnote, they can be huge. That's particularly true in the case of financial institutions. So their vocation is to take risks. And if they're well managed, they are supposed to ensure that the potential losses to themselves will be covered, that is, to themselves. Under capitalist rules, market rules, it's not their business to consider the risk to others. That's even apart from the nanny state rushing in when things get in trouble, which of course expands the underestimation of risks. But even apart from that, just inherent in a market system is that risk is underpriced because what's called systemic risk, that is the risk to the system at large, is not priced into decisions. So if Goldman Sachs makes a risky transaction, investment of some kind, or loan, or whatever, it presumably, if well managed, covers the risk to itself, even putting aside the fact that the nanny state is there to help it out if when things go wrong. But it doesn't take into account the risk that if its, say, loan goes bad, the whole system will collapse, which is pretty close to what happened. It insured itself with AIG. AIG tanked. If the government hadn't bailed out AIG, the biggest insurance company, that Goldman Sachs would be bankrupt, and other consequences like it would have happened, as would happen in a capitalist society without the nanny state. But the risk is always there and exaggerated, underestimated, just by virtue of the nature of markets. Well, that naturally leads to repeated crises, but all such annoying thoughts were put to the side during the period of what's called neoliberal globalization. That kind of settled into dogma from the Reagan-Thatcher years. Also dismissed were occasional warnings to beware of what Nobel laureate Joseph Stiglitz 15 years ago called the religion that markets know best. They don't.
Professor Noam Chomsky speaking to an audience at the University of Maryland on January 27th, 2012, just a few weeks ago, about the economic crisis. The title of the talk, Crisis and Hope, Theirs and Ours. It's available courtesy of the Real News Network for a pledge of $75 at 818-985-5735 in DVD format. We'd love to send you a DVD of this historic talk coming just months after the start of Occupy Wall Street. Years from now, we're going to look back on this moment and we're going to see the current economic crisis in the way in which Chomsky is describing it. It's a very rare moment that comes along, and Professor Noam Chomsky, still around, still feisty and active and thoughtful as ever, now in his 80s, still traveling and speaking, comments on the economic crisis in the language, using the language of the Occupy Wall Street movement, the 99% versus the 1%. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. It's a pledge of $75 for this DVD alone. But get the DVD pack that we're offering today. Together, for a pledge of $150, we'll send you this DVD plus the brand new DVD, Extraordinary Minds, which is an intimate one-on-one interview with Noam Chomsky by Howard Gardner. We'll play you a clip of that in just a few minutes. Howard Gardner is one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world. He's the author of 25 books, including Extraordinary Minds, Multiple Intelligences. He is a professor of cognition and education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, and also holds positions as adjunct professor of psychology at Harvard and senior director of Harvard Project Zero. And he interviewed Noam Chomsky, one of the most important intellectuals in the world, in this incredible, almost hour-long videotaped interview that's part of our packet to thank you today. The DVD is available by itself for a pledge of $100. The talk by Chomsky for $75, you get them together for $150. At 818-985-5735, we'll also give you a subscription to Dollars and Cents magazine for the first 16 of you that can call in and make that pledge. Folks, our fund drive goal is $850,000. So far, we've raised $459,000 and change. We still have left about $390,000 left to raise. If 390 of you called in and pledged $1,000 today, the drive would be over. We would be able to go back to regular programming tomorrow. Maybe there's a few of you that can pledge $1,000 right now. We'd like to raise $4,000 this hour, and we can do that if 27 of you call in and pledge $150 at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I want to play for you and our listeners a clip from this hour-long interview by Howard Gardner with Noam Chomsky discussing the events in his childhood that influenced his worldview, including his involvement with his school newspaper and the time that he spent in New York. Here's Howard Gardner interviewing Noam Chomsky in the $100 DVD Extraordinary Minds. $100 is the pledge level we're asking you for this DVD, together with a talk, $150.
I guess two questions, Noam. One, those influences on you, and then the circumstances under which you began to write publicly, which I know from the middle 60s, you may have written some things before, but I don't know about that.
Actually, the first thing I wrote that I remember was in 1939. It was on the fall of Barcelona.
This was a school essay, right?
Fourth grade, yeah, yes. Right. I was running the school newspaper. In fact, I'm probably the only person who read the school newspaper. But Barcelona fell in February 39, and I was very much interested at the time in the Spanish Revolution and the rise of fascism. And the fall of Barcelona was a crucial moment. I mean, I can sort of remember it. Austria had fallen, Czechoslovakia had fallen. With the fall of Barcelona to Franco Spain, it looked like fascism was going to extend over Europe. And that was a very threatening idea, I mean, even for a 10-year-old. In fact, it was threatening even in my own neighborhood. We were the only Jewish family in a mostly Irish and a German Catholic neighborhood, which was mostly pro-Nazi, very anti-Semitic, of course. I mean, the Irish because they hated the British, and the Germans because they were German. I mean, I can remember beer parties when Paris fell. So even in the local neighborhood, it was kind of scary, but then I was interested in the world.
So politics was in your face.
It was right in your face, but it was in everybody else's face, too. But they didn't. The reason that I was also interested much more generally, I mean, shortly after that, not when I was 10 years old, but when I was about 12 or 13. In fact, as soon as I was old enough to take the train to New York by myself, where my family lived, my extended family, I'd spend, weekends, whenever I had some time, on 4th Avenue, which in those days, below Union Square, used to be full of small bookstores, mostly European emigres, a lot of them anarchists from Spain, older people who were delighted to talk to some young kid who wanted to know about these things. Or at the office of the Freie Arbeiterstimme, the main anarchist group in New York, which was in Union Square, picking up pamphlets, listening to people. That's where I ran into Rudolf Rocker and things like that. So it's just part of, actually, I think if I try to introspect, it comes from the same skepticism. I didn't believe anything anyone was saying. You know, it didn't make any sense. And if you start to look, it looked quite different. I'd spend, Philadelphia happened to have a central library, which for some reason had a very rich collection of radical literature. Remember, this is the 30s and the early 40s.
It had a presence in that country, period, in the country at that
time. And they were all over the place. So, I used to pore over these things. My uncle, who you mentioned, was a very interesting man. He had never gotten past fourth grade, but he's one of the most educated people I've ever met. He ran a newsstand. He was able to get a job because he was disabled. And in the New Deal, if you were disabled, you could get a dispensation to do things like running a newsstand. So he ran a newsstand, which was a kind of a place where emigres from Europe collected, PhDs, psychoanalysts, all sorts of people. It was just a lively place. Through this connection, talking to him and people around, I just got introduced into the same kind of world I was getting introduced to on 4th Avenue or the Philadelphia Public Library.
Professor Noam Chomsky speaking with Howard Gardner in an intimate one-on-one conversation about his life, his childhood, his politics, his background, and it's our thank you gift to you today. It's a part of a series called Extraordinary Minds, and the featured guest for this part of the series is Noam Chomsky. If you're a Chomsky fan, you're going to want this in your collection. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. It's a $100 pledge for this DVD. The talk that we were featuring earlier by Chomsky just a few weeks ago at University of Maryland is available for $75. You can get them both for $150 at 818-985-KPFK. If you spend $150 on KPFK today, we'll throw in a year-long subscription to Dollars and Cents magazine, a wonderful progressive magazine that looks at the economy, perfectly appropriate with the Chomsky analysis that we've been listening to for part of this hour. 818-985-KPFK, $150 pledge. If 27 of you pledge that amount, we'll make our goal this morning. Joining me in studio this morning is Program Director Alan Minsky. Welcome, Alan.
Oh, great to be here, Sonali. And just fantastic material from Chomsky. And I have to say, the talk that we were listening to is just so important for people to get, to process. All I can say is, you know, with my father having been a macroeconomist, and I still am very involved with his students. This is such an on-the-mark analysis of the global situation, how we got here. It's a crazy way to look at it, but if you were seeking investment advice, this is what people in the markets who are traders, they understand this stuff. All of the Chomsky's talking about with risk. It's very real. It's very much what's going on in the world, from Greece to Main Street to Wall Street. It's people say this is too complex to understand. It is not, folks. It is not at all. That's one of the great prevailing myths and illusions of our time. It is complex, but Chomsky is walking you through it in a very detailed, clear, measured manner, makes it very understandable. And of course, the power dynamics, the play of the wealthy against the interests of the rest of us, of these institutions that serve the wealthy elite, such as the elite financial services institutions like Goldman Sachs and others. 818-985-5735. You can pick up this essential material and support the only radio station where you're going to hear Noam Chomsky.
That's right. He is pretty much censured in the rest of the press. He does not get his voice heard. The New York Times will not interview him. They rarely review his books. In fact, I don't even know if the New York Times Review of Books has reviewed any of his recent books. And they, many of them turn, of course, into bestsellers. I love his use of the term nanny state. He uses it in the appropriate context, in the context of how the government often steps in time and again to bail out big banks, to subsidize risks, and not in the way in which politicians often, of course, use the term nanny state to describe social safety net programs. And Noam Chomsky, I think, reminds us in his sort of incomparable manner that what politicians say and what politicians do are quite opposite. And that is the reason why we listen to Chomsky, is to help open our eyes. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We have two callers on the line right now. I want to play more Chomsky from the speech in a clip that we've selected for you about how Adam Smith himself warned against the current economic system. We have three callers now on the line. We need 27 of you total calling in and pledging $150. We'll find out in a few minutes how many have called already. I think we've had about five calls so far. So still over 20 of you calling in between now and the end of the hour and pledging $150 will help us toward our $4,000 goal. If there's several of you that can pledge $1,000 all at once each, that will make a huge difference and help us toward our station-wide goal. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735.
And, Sonali, I also want to add one other thing into the hold mix. For $150 pledge of support this hour, you can also get something in which if you share your email with the folks in the phone room, you can be a part of a daily listserv that I send out. Just this morning, you would have received a long interview that took place between economist Paul Krugman and radical New York activist Jonathan Tessini. It's an amazingly illuminating interview, again, on many of the themes we're hearing Noam Chomsky talk about. But this happens 5 days a week. By itself, it's a $25 pledge. I haven't offered it recently to Uprising listeners or Morning listeners. So call in, share your email, and any pledge of $25 or more. So for $150, get my daily listserv as well, 818-985-5735. The only people who see your email is the person in the phone room, myself and yourself. You're BCC'd in a manner where you can write me, comment on the station, your thoughts. We can have a dialogue as well. 818-985-5735. This $150 package that Sonali has put together that comes along with the fantastic magazine Dollars and Cents is, I think, one of the most important packages available. It's a great complement to KPFK's programming in this time of this long, Krugman's asked in the interview, is this a recession? He says, no, it's a depression. We had the Great Depression, and this is a lesser depression. But depression, coming off an economist's tongue, as it were, is such a powerful thing to say. And he does think this is a depression. We have to understand the macro economy. Anybody who thinks these macro issues don't impact people's lives, well, welcome to the first 12 years of the 21st century. And these macroeconomic issues have impacted millions upon millions upon millions, if not billions, yes, in fact, billions of people across the world's very individual lives, and probably you out there listening. So to understand these things is essential to be involved in the political discourse of our times and to understand the society we live in. And these are the most powerful instruments that we can make available. And Noam Chomsky, who has written so eloquently on U.S. foreign policy, has written eloquently on issues of like theoretical social organization, like anarchism and so on, has also, and media analysis, has also written across the past few decades such on-point economic analyses of global economics. This is his latest contribution. It is just from a couple weeks ago. It is great material by itself. It's a $75 pledge at 818-985-5735. You can get that along with my daily listserv. And for a $150 pledge, get the whole Chomsky pack plus the dollars and cents. That's quite a deal. And dollars and cents, really, it's one of these gifts that keeps on giving. 818-985-5735.
We have four callers on the line right now. I want to turn back to Professor Noam Chomsky speaking about how Adam Smith himself warned against our economic system. This is from the talk given January 27th, 2012, just a few weeks ago, part of our $150 thank you gift to you. It comes with an hour-long interview done by Howard Gardner with Noam Chomsky.
A lot of what's going on is in accord with a maxim of Adam Smith's that should actually be known better. Back in Wealth of Nations, 1776, he wrote that, of course he's interested in England, he wrote that in England, the principal architects of government policy are the people who own the economy. In his day, the merchants and manufacturers of England, they set policy and they design it so as to ensure that their own interests are very well attended to, however grievous the effect on others, including the people of England, but in particular those overseas, like those in India who were suffering what he called the savage injustice of the Europeans, the British in that case, as he knew. Well, that's a pretty good principle of politics. It held well in the 1770s. It's slightly different today. It's not merchants and manufacturers. It's financial institutions and multinational corporations. But the general maxim holds pretty well. You can make it more complex and sophisticated, but as a kind of a simple first approximation, it's not bad and very dramatic today. Well, it's also worth remembering that the founders of classical economics, that's Adam Smith and David Ricardo, could predict what's been happening today, and in fact they did. They warned about they recognized would be a nightmare of what's now called neoliberal globalization, what the 99% have been enduring here and much harsher and long familiar in poorer countries. So for example, Adam Smith discussed what would happen if in England the merchants and manufacturers decided to basically abandon England to invest abroad and import from abroad. He pointed out that they might do very well under those circumstances, but it would be very harsh for England. However, he argued that this is not going to happen because of a phenomenon that's sometimes called home bias. The merchants and manufacturers would prefer to do business at home, to invest at home and to get their commodities, products from home. And then he said, because of this, as if by an invisible hand, England will be saved from the ravages of what we called neoliberal globalization. That phrase, invisible hand, is a pretty hard one to miss. It's the only occurrence, the one occurrence of the phrase in his classic Wealth of Nations. So if you look it up in the index, that's the passage it'll take you to. It's basically a critique of neoliberal globalization and a description of what's happening now.
818-985-5735 is the phone number to call if you'd like the entire talk that we've just been playing for you by Noam Chomsky. We've just been playing small clips of it, and we, of course, wouldn't be able to play the whole talk for you. But if you call us and pledge $150, we'll send you this talk along with the hour-long interview with Noam Chomsky by Howard Gardner at 818-985-5735. It's about 2 hours' worth of material, and it really has the kind of analysis, detailed analysis, that you've grown to expect from Noam Chomsky. If you're a longtime fan of Chomsky, or if you're somebody new to Chomsky's works, maybe you're a new listener to KPFK and you've maybe heard the name Noam Chomsky but never actually heard him speak in his own voice, in his own words, and now's your chance, and you're drawn to what he's saying and the very sort of reasonableness of how he puts everything, the very rational approach to understanding and analyzing politics and the economy that he brings to the table, that he shares with our listeners. And of course, the amazing thing about Chomsky is that his research is far-ranging and his ability to synthesize information is unequaled. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. If you pledge $150, we'll send you the two DVDs featuring Chomsky, and we'll throw in a subscription to Dollars and Cents magazine. We've had a number of you calling in right now. We have less than 20 minutes left in the hour to raise our $4,000 goal, and I want to play more Chomsky for you, but we need to hear from more of you. Alan Minsky?
818-985-5735. I'm looking at this magazine, Dollars and Cents. You know, one of the contributors just to this issue is Rick Wolf, Richard Wolf, who's, you know, is one of the people we feature as one of the daily webcasts of the day. It's the Monday show. You know, Doug Henwood, who is involved, does the Tuesday show, often writes for it. Robert
and
Pollan.
And both of them have been guests on Uprising very frequently.
And Pacifica hosts, indeed. This is a fantastic, fantastic magazine. Why the United States is Not Greece, a very powerful article. It, again, looks at it from the point of view of our macroeconomic organization. There's an article called The Recession in Black Wealth, Occupy Student Debt Campaign. So many articles, so relevant in Dollars and Cents, and that is part of the $150 package if you call in at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. How many of those are available this hour, Sonali?
The 16 of them, and we've been told we've raised a little over $1,300 so far, which is fantastic. We'll still need to raise about a little over $2,500 at 818-985-5735. So about a dozen and a half of you, a little less than a dozen and a half of you will be able to get the subscription. But you have to call and get it early, because if you wait till the end of the program, we might have given them all away.
818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. You know, it's so fantastic to hear Chomsky. And again, going back even to Adam Smith, you know, one of my dear friends, Melissa Figueroa, is in graduate school in Berkeley, a former KPFK employee. And she's just called me up recently, and they're reading Adam Smith. And she's like, wait a second, this guy is not what the right says he's about.
Right. There
and,
you go.
And you know, so this is fantastic analysis from Chomsky. Again, the detail, the precision of his research. I was commenting in Master Control a moment ago that earlier on he mentioned the work of the economist David Felix. I hadn't heard that name in years. He was, again, an associate of my father. I knew him growing up. An incredibly important contribution to understanding financial markets. And there's Chomsky citing him. This is such a wealth of information, folks, from Noam Chomsky. So important, again, to understand the real forces that exist in the world we live in that dominate the lives of every person alive on the globe now. People are told it's too complex. It's not too complex. Get this. Understand it. You know, Sonali mentioned ago, if you haven't heard Chomsky before, if you have everything up until this point from Chomsky, get this. Process it. Share it with people. This is a very, very, very important lecture from Noam Chomsky. And, you know, I've been listening very closely to the excerpts, and I have to say I think it is absolutely spot on. 818-985-5735.
And, you know, he doesn't come to Southern California very often. So a lot of what we rely on to hear from Chomsky are video recordings, audio recordings of his speeches. He is still very, very active. And his commentary on the Occupy Wall Street movement, as well as the economic crisis that Occupy Wall Street is taking on, is very amazing. I mean, it's just, I think we're so lucky to have that, Alan. I think we're lucky that somebody like Chomsky is still around to be able to comment on what's happening with the economy. And he uses the imagery. He uses the terms that Occupy Wall Street uses, which allows us to have that sort of intellectual weaponry, if you will, to combat the assault from the right, and not just from the right, from liberal sources in this country. In the next clip that I want to play for you, Chomsky indicts both major parties. And of course, we are in an election year, which means that the political discourse in this country is going to be so heavily skewed between now and November, even more so than normal. And the relentlessness of the finger pointing and the name calling and the fact that both parties are responsible for much of the crisis is often, of course, going to get obscured. Without KPFK to help us navigate the political language that is used, we, I know, would all be a little bit lost, and the apathy that is created during election years is also pretty, it's dangerous. It can derail the Occupy Wall Street movement. So we need people like Chomsky. We need stations like KPFK. Today, the two are meeting, and we are asking you to support it at 818-985-5735. We still need $2,500 between now and 9 o'clock. Four of you are on the line right now. Four more of you, we welcome you. We lay down the welcome mat at our phone at 818-985-5735. Here again is Professor Chomsky speaking about the decline of the U.S. political system.
The famous American decline that's talked about these days actually started right away, declined very quickly. The decline is kind of interesting if you think about it. The first step in American decline has a name. It's called the loss of China. It happened in 1949, and then there's huge debate about who's responsible for the loss of China, and a major issue in American domestic policy since that time. It's interesting that the phrase itself is never questioned. You can only lose something that you own, and it's just taken for granted. Of course we own the world. How can anyone question that? So if some part of the world moves towards independence, we've lost it. And then the problem is, you know, who's responsible for the loss? In fact, part of the post-war planning, very explicit, was that the U.S. should control the entire Far East, as well as most of the rest. So that's the beginning of American decline. Keeps going. I won't run through it. But by 1970, it had reached the point that instead of controlling half the world's wealth, it had declined to 25%, which is still colossal, but not 50%. And the United States by then was, it's about what it is now, incidentally. Meanwhile, what remained of functioning democracy, rapidly declining, was shredded further as the cost of elections skyrocketed. That drives the political parties deeper, even deeper than before. They're always there, but even deeper than before, into corporate pockets. It's where the money is. The Republicans did it so enthusiastically that they scarcely even resemble a traditional political party anymore, which is part of the reason for the near lunacy of the Republican debates. We can talk about that. If you
abandon any pretense of being a political party. You have to mobilize voters somehow. And you can't do it on the basis of your policies. You know, you can't go to the voting public and say, hey, our only policy is to enrich the super rich and impoverish you. So you have to organize other constituencies, groups that are always there, you know, but they weren't really mobilized as a political force in earlier years. That includes religious, could use the word extremist, meaning by world standards, but they're not extremist by U.S. standards. The country's kind of off the spectrum in religious extremism and has been for a long time, in fact, since the colonists. But they weren't organized as a political force very much, and now they are. That's a big voting constituency. Nativists who are consumed with hate and fear, they're always there, but now they're organized. Small businessmen who feel that the world's turning against them, they don't like the big corporations, they don't like the government, they don't like anybody, they can be organized. And other sectors like that, I kind of hate to say it, but those of you who know something about modern history will recognize that this is somewhat similar to the constituencies that big industrialists mobilized in Germany in the late Weimar Republic, which was the Nazi Party. And they thought they could control them, but it turned out they couldn't. That's a lot of dissimilarities, but some unpleasant similarities too. Anyhow, when you mobilize those constituencies, and that's who you have to talk to, then the debates and the so-called debates, you know, the catechism and so on, is going to be like what you see on television. It's kind of amazing, the world. There's nothing like it in any parliamentary system, but it's almost inevitable. Once a political party abandons any pretense of being a political party and just is completely in service to a tiny sector, a fraction of the 1%, well, that's the vicious cycle. The Democrats today are what used to be called moderate Republicans. Moderate Republicans, it's sometimes said that they're gone. They're not gone. They're centrist Democrats or even center-left Democrats. They're not far behind, although that's part of the vicious cycle.
Professor Noam Chomsky, in his wonderful style, just saying it like it is, where are the moderate Republicans? They're in the Democratic Party. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. If you pledge $150, we'll send you this DVD along with the hour-long interview by Howard Gardner of Noam Chomsky in the DVD entitled Extraordinary Minds, the two DVDs for pledge of $150. Individually, they're $175. And we will But if you get the $150 pack, the two DVD pack will throw in a subscription to Dollars and Cents magazine at 818-985-KPFK.
And I can also say, if you get the 150 pack, please share your email with the folks in the phone room. You'll get a daily email from me with I try to find the best, most illuminating articles on the internet. I send out, I promise, one a day. Sometimes it's links to many more. 818-985-5735. Sonali and I, we need 10 people to call right now in the last 5 plus minutes, maybe 6 minutes of the hour. That's you out there listening right now. This material is so important to get your hands on, but you're not only getting this material delivered to you, including the subscription to Dollars and Cents, of which there only are a few left, so call right now at 818-985-5735, but you're also supporting the radio station that delivers this kind of information, the only media broadcast media outlet in Southern California that delivers this kind of trenchant analysis of the global economic crisis. And folks, let me just say this. Again, I've grown up with this my entire life. That means we're the only radio station that gets it right. I'm sorry, folks. Not only did we get the Iraq War right, nobody else did. The other public radio stations had an overwhelming number of people who were supporting the war and almost no voices from people who were opposing the war. Similarly, in 2005 and 2006, nary a voice on the other public radio stations in Southern California with their millions upon millions of dollars of resources did you hear that the bubble was about to burst. But you heard it here from the very economists who are in the Dollars and Cents Collective, from voices like Noam Chomsky, and from the plethora of economists that he cites who were always on our airwaves and found nowhere else. So it's not just a matter of the fact that we prioritize the interests of working class, middle class families in ways that other media outlets don't. we also simply get it right because we are not blinded by the force of corporate interests underwriting our journalism. 818-985-5735. Sonali and I, we want to see eight more people call in at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, and pick up this intellectually empowering material and while you are supporting this unique media project, KPFK Radio, 818-985-5735.
And I really hope that folks who are calling are also getting the Dollars and Cents subscription. The latest issue has a fantastic, they have this ongoing feature called Up Against the Wall Street Journal by Alejandro Ruiz. And this month's issue has a wonderful article called No Thanks to the Super Rich. We don't owe them gratitude for their, quote, superior productivity. And it really dissects an article that was published by Fox News, of course, by Alex Epstein, who's a former fellow of the Ayn Rand Institute, that actually had a Thanksgiving piece entitled Let's Give Thanks for the 1%, because, of course, it's thanks to their superior productivity that we are all benefiting, that our economy has managed to make as much progress as it has. And it's a fantastic dissection of that. And that's the kind of material that you'll get in Dollars and Cents. It's a sort of print equivalent of the economic courage coverage you'll hear on KPFK. We have six callers on the line right now, which is great. We need two more calling in at 818-985-5735. We want to fill the phone lines. We're more than halfway through our goal, but only 4 minutes left in the hour to raise another $2,000. If two of you pledge $2,000, two of you pledge $1,000 each, we'll be done for this hour. If 290 of you pledge $1,000 in the next few hours, we'll be done for the entire fund drive. So let me plant that seed into the heads of those of you who can afford a $1,000 contribution at 818-985-KPFK. We need your help. We need to make the station meet its goal so that we can continue our programming. Thank you for that call. One more call at 818-985-KPFK.
Well, I want to say, per my count, I went in there, I checked out. I want to see four more people call, Sonali. So we have 3 minutes left to get four people to call, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. The Noam Chomsky talk, which we've heard excerpts from, just from late January of this year on the macroeconomy, the global economic crisis, how we get here, how to understand it, and then how people can move forward through it, policy prescriptions to propose given the crisis, is available for just a $75 pledge to KPFK. Spread that over a year, folks, and it's really just such a small amount of money. Use your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, 818-985-5735. There are 2 minutes left in this hour. There's another call, Sonali. I want to see three more people call in. You can pledge at the $75 level or the $150 level. Support KPFK, or as Sonali said, if you have deeper pockets, maybe pledge $500 and pick up multiple packets and deliver them to friends. 818-985-5735. The folks in the phone room can help facilitate that. 818-985-5735. Three more of you out there. Love to get this material into people's hands as a way to compliment KPFK. It's our thank you gift to you when you support this station. 818-985-5735.
And folks, let me remind you what there is, what you will get for your contribution of $150. Of course, you get KPFK, but you also get the 2-DVD set featuring Noam Chomsky, the hour-long talk he gave at the University of Maryland just weeks ago. Special thanks to Real News Network for providing us with a recording of that. And it's very well produced, very beautiful, recording, high quality. And the hour-long Extraordinary Minds series DVD featuring Noam Chomsky interviewed by Howard Gardner. Together, they're $150 pledge individually. They're $75 and $100 respectively. If you get the pack, you might be able to still get a subscription to Dollars and Cents Magazine. I hope we might still have a few left. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735.
It looks like, per my count, we need just one more person to call. We have 30 seconds left. So happy to join you here this morning, Sonali Kalakar. Such amazing material. And again, sign up for my listserv if you share your email with people in the phone room as well for any of those pledge levels at 818-985-5735. And again, it looks like we need one more person to call. Please call in. The $150 pack is full of so much information, a great compliment to the station. $75 for the DVD of Chomsky from just a few weeks ago. 818-985-5734. One more person. Come on. make our morning perfect.
It'll happen. I know that there's somebody out there about to dial. For Sonali, subversive thought for the day, Professor Noam Chomsky said in his speech at the University of Maryland, the Occupy movements are the first large-scale popular response to the growing crisis of the past generation. Maybe they can go beyond what they've done. I hope so. And whether that'll happen is essentially up to us to determine, just as it's up to us to determine whether, say, Martin Luther King's dream is to remain in tattered ruins or, in fact, can be realized. That's Chomsky. That's Sonali's subversive thought for the day. You've been listening to Uprising. Martina Steiner is our assistant producer. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you, Alan. I'll see you tomorrow at 8.
I'm mad. The big payback. About to get back. I need some gift.